Very good morning to the 9 a.m. congregation. My name is Daniel. Usually I'm not at this congregation. Usually I'll be during this time I'll be serving the youth. So the youth gather right at the back there. So if you do have any youth, feel free to come look for me just to promote the ministry a little bit. I also serve in the university ministry here at St. Mary's. So if you are a uni student here, you're welcome to find me as well. You have a Bible? We'll be looking at the Palm Sunday passage today in John 12. So if you have an order of service, you have the Bible in front of you, feel free to open that up as well. And there's also a sermon outline in the order of service for you to follow along as well. Let's pray and ask God's help to understand His word. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this morning, as we can gather here to listen to Your word. Pray that by Your Spirit, You enable us to understand, to really see the significance and meaning of Palm Sunday. And more importantly, Lord, we will be in reverent awe and thankful worship of who You are, Lord Jesus, and what You have done. Help us on this day, Lord, we pray in Your Son's most precious name. Amen. It's Palm Sunday today. Personally, I don't know about you, but I have two very significant memories when it comes to Palm Sunday. The first two things that comes to my mind. The first memory is when I was a youth, our teacher would hand us green color pieces of paper. And then what we had to do was we'd take our palm and put it on a green color piece of paper. We would draw our palm on a green color piece of paper. We would cut it up. And then on that piece of paper, we would write, Jesus is King, thank you, Jesus, blah, 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 whatever things we wanted to write on. And it would stick a lollipop stick, and then we would... So I didn't have actual palm leaves when I was a kid growing up, but I had that. And that was my first memory. My second memory was a more fun one, I think, well, fun for someone. It was a little drama we had for Passover. And guess what? I'm the donkey. And my friend got the enjoyment and pleasure of sitting at my back and just walking into the stage or Jerusalem at the time. So that was a good memory, at least for my friend. Maybe to a lot of us, Palm Sunday is a fun thing, it's a yearly tradition, and we thank God for the things that we can do, from walking around the cathedral to holding a palm tree, and maybe for some of you, this is the first time you're experiencing that. And that's all worth thanking God for. However, I reckon that today, even as we come to church this morning, perhaps some of us here have yet to fully understand the meaning and significance of Palm Sunday. So that's exactly what we're going to do. Apart from the traditions, the fun and the joy, which we all thank God for, we're singing All Glory, Lord, and Honor. But for us, all of us here, as disciples of Jesus Christ, as we seek to be more mature in the faith, let's come to God's Word together to understand the meaning and significance of Palm Sunday. And as I prayed earlier, more importantly, that we will see this king riding on a donkey into Jerusalem 2,000 years ago is worth our lives, our trust, and all of our worship. So just to paint the context of right before where Jesus came into the city on a donkey, what has happened in the story? So in this time, it was Passover season, which means many, many people, large crowds were flocking to Jerusalem for Passover. Passover simply means a festival or a remembrance of what God has done when He redeemed Israel out of Egypt. And during the first century at the time, during Jesus' time, there were so many people in the city. Ancient Jewish historian Josephus says roughly the highest point number was 2.7 million in the holy city of Jerusalem. Point is, Jesus is very popular at this point. He had gained a lot of attention. Why? Because a couple of verses prior, He just raised Lazarus from the dead. He performed an extremely amazing miracle. And because of that miracle, many people have come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, Jesus is the chosen one. So that's one group of people. The second group of people, however, that to give some context, is the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And as we've seen, as we studied Matthew, or we listened to Matthew a couple weeks ago, they did not like Jesus and would do anything to stop what Jesus is doing. If you look at the screen, John 11, 47, 48, just a few verses prior, it says that, so the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, what are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nations. Pharisees and Sadducees, they hated Jesus, would stop anything, would do anything rather to stop Jesus. So those are the two responses, the two characters, and we will see, once again, these two characters appearing as we seek to understand the meaning of Palm Sunday in our passage today. So look with me to John chapter 12, verse 12. It says that the next day, the large crowd had come to the feast, the Passover, heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. Now remember, Jesus is very popular. They saw the miracle, they witnessed the miracle, and they were thinking, this is the Messiah. So this is how they responded to the Messiah. In verse 13, very important verse, look at it. It says, so they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. You see, church, this Palm Sunday cheer is not just your regular old shout of praise or Hosanna. Why? Because, firstly, palm trees. Why palm trees? Because throughout the history of Israel, palm trees have been used similarly to be waved as a symbol of victory, as a symbol of victory over Israel's enemies, over the enemies of the Jews, right? So as they were shouting, as they were waving their palm trees, they shouted, Hosanna, blessed is he, Jesus, this Jesus, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You see, friends, this shout, this Hosanna shout is a fulfillment of prophecy that Jesus came to fulfill, as we read in our psalm reading just now. All right, Psalm 118, verse 25 to 26, it says, save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he, you see that? Who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. That phrase in verse 25, save us, we pray, is literally Hosanna. Hosanna means save, please, or God saves. And what the Jewish crowd at the time were essentially saying as Jesus was coming into the city on a donkey is saying, Hosanna, salvation is here. The King, the Messiah, the chosen one of Israel is here. So you have to imagine in their minds, they were so excited. They were thinking, ah, Jesus is here. The King is here. He's finally going to restore the nation of Israel. Just like how God saved us from Egyptian oppression, now the Messiah has come to save us from Roman oppression. Now, is that true? Well, on one hand, the chosen one, the Messiah, part of his role or job is to bring salvation, is to bring redemption for God's people, is to save people. That is true. However, what Jesus came on that very Palm Sunday, that his salvation and his redemption is a very different kind than what the Jews expected. Because if you think about it, Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem was not particularly very amazing, right? Unlike how sometimes if you've experienced this on KL roads where a VIP will come and a whole bunch of police and a black cars will come and go on this on the KL road just to block traffic. I'm sure some of you have experienced that. Or a king or a prince riding on a horse signifying power coming into his city. Jesus, on the other hand, comes in on a donkey. Donkey? What are you doing, Jesus? Why a donkey? Well, this donkey thing is not by accident, friends. As we read just now in our Old Testament reading in Zechariah 9:9. It's a fulfillment of yet another prophecy. It says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation. Is he humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Something that was mentioned way before Jesus came into that city is fulfilled in Christ. A king on a donkey. Rather than a king on a horse signifying power, a king came on a donkey, signifying that Jesus is a lowly and humble king. That this King Jesus' intention is not to rule by force, but is not to take over the Roman Empire, but rather this king, this lowly king, came to seek, serve, and save the lost. He came to die for people on a Roman cross. Radically different to the idea of Jesus, to the idea of the Messiah that the Jews at the time had in mind. And I reckon for a lot of us here today, we ourselves perhaps at times have a very different picture of who we want Jesus to be. We are like the Jews, right? Of course, the Jews had a Messiah that will free them from Roman oppression, but for some of us, in principle, we just want a Jesus, a Christ, a Messiah that is made after our own image and our own liking. Perhaps some of us here, we want a Jesus that accepts me for who I am, but not a Jesus that asks me to repent from my sin and demands obedience to Him alone. Perhaps some of us here, we want a Jesus to fit my schedule, my agenda, and my timing, but not us fitting in His timing and agenda. We want a Jesus, perhaps, is just an option out of many gods, but He is not rather the one true God, the way, the truth, and the life. Now, many examples can be given, but the question for all of us here this morning is the same, which is this. Is the Jesus that you worship a Jesus of your own imagination, a Christ of your own imagination and desires, or is it the Jesus as is revealed in the Bible, in the Scriptures, revealed in the Old Testament, fulfilled in the New? Is this the Jesus that you trust? Now, especially for those of you here, maybe this is your first time in church, if you're here and you have not yet acknowledged and trust who Jesus is, may I invite you to come and trust in Him. Especially, and I know it's hard, because in the landscape of earthly kings and political leaders of countries doing things for self-gain, we see war, we see this, it is hard to trust and surrender to earthly authorities. But, albeit it's hard to surrender to our authorities, it is difficult, but let this picture of Jesus, the King, riding into Jerusalem on a donkey show us who Jesus really is. That He's a King that I can trust because He is lowly, gentle, He's loving, He's kind, and He invites all to repent of their sins, to come and trust in Him. He's a King that is offering you, especially if you don't trust in Him, is offering you forgiveness of sins and life eternal. Would you come and trust in Him? Now we see that's the crowd's response. Perhaps a different kind of Jesus they had in mind. But what about the disciples? What about the disciples? What was going through their mind when they saw their master, they saw their Lord riding in on the donkey to Jerusalem? Well, verse 16, John tells us exactly what they were thinking, or rather not really thinking sometimes. It says there in verse 16, it says, His disciples, all the disciples, did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about Him and had been done to Him. So when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem on a donkey, the disciples, perhaps they understood certain things, but they were like, huh? What's going on? They don't really understand the significance of what happened until Jesus was glorified. Which means this Sunday, or back in the day after that time, that Sunday, that Easter Lord Sunday, they finally got it. After Jesus being glorified means after Jesus' death and resurrection. After Jesus came back to life, He appeared to His disciples explaining everything that pertains to Him. Look with me on the screen to Luke 24, 45 to 46. It says that then Jesus opened their minds, the disciples' minds, to understand the Scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. So from the disciples' point of view, all they see is their master riding on a donkey. Perhaps they, like the Jews, thought this Jesus came to free them from Roman oppression, but in reality, that King on a donkey coming into Jerusalem, He knew at the back of His mind that He will die on a cross, that 3 days later He will be raised from the dead. Now, just as a side here, all of us, if you are a Christian sitting here today, isn't that comforting to know that even Jesus' disciples did not fully understand everything at first? Some of you may be just looking at me and staring at me, but you have no idea what this sermon is about, and that really is okay. Because may that be an encouragement that the early church leaders, the apostles themselves, were blur. because they needed the Holy Spirit to understand the things of God, just as we do. So if you perhaps are comparing yourselves to other Christians and, well, this Christian very smart, this Christian very mature, may I encourage you that it's okay. Wherever you are, keep asking questions, keep reading your Bible day by day, bit by bit. Because it's not how smart you are, it's not how well you are educated that you understand the Bible, but it's by God's grace and Spirit that enables you, even me, to understand His Word. So may I encourage you just to come humbly before God, right? Ask God to reveal Himself to you. Ask questions of your pastors or get into a small group. Study the Bible together, whatever it is. Acknowledge that I may not be where I am today, but one day, as I keep continuing to grow, I will understand the things related to God and submit my lives to Jesus every single day. Would you do that just as the disciples did back in the day? Well, as we come to the end of our passage today, John ends this section of the story, this whole Palm Sunday story, by showing us those two groups that I mentioned earlier, the crowd and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Verse 17 to 18, it just tells us, or John tells us, that many people, on account of Jesus' miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead, believed in Him. And those people, excited, knowing Jesus is the Messiah, raising Lazarus from the dead, they went out and bore witness about Jesus, going out, telling people that Jesus is the Messiah. No one else could have extraordinary power like Him. He is the Messiah. The news of Jesus and who He is spreading far and wide because these people were telling the world about who Jesus is. But on the other hand, and John contrasts this in verse 19 to the Pharisees, to the Sadducees, they were murmuring, they were complaining, they were in anguish somewhat, and they said this in verse 19. You see that you are gaining nothing, or we, the Pharisees, are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after Him. That despite all their attempts, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, all their attempts to stop Jesus, to stop His works, to stop His popularity, but to no avail, they have gained nothing. None of what they're doing is effective. And instead of succeeding to stop Jesus, the world has gone after Him. The people have trust in Jesus. The people are following Jesus. The Jews, the large crowd around them, yes, they are following Jesus. They are shouting, Hosanna. But if you think about it, and I think the Pharisees and the Sadducees are unintentionally speaking about the future. When Gentiles, when non-Jews, when people of the Roman Empire, when the city of Caesarea, Philippi, all these places, and even right now to Malaysia today, that the Word of God has went out into the world and the world has come to Christ. All people of all nations, of all tribes, we have followed Jesus. Not only 2,000 years ago with local Israelites, 2,000 years later, Christianity is still going strong because people have acknowledged Jesus as King, all of us here today. Now, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that amazing that what happened 2,000 years ago in a Palm Sunday has now reached, or this Holy Week, Easter, Good Friday, has reached all the way to here today? So my final exhortation for all of us here this morning is this. Would you consider bearing witness about our Christ? Let's not talk about next week. Start this week, this Holy Week. Would you not be like the Pharisees, who do not care about the things of God? Would you be like the crowd who would tell people the significance and meaning of Palm Sunday? Would you bring this into your office this week to tell people about who Jesus is? We have a service Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Technically not Saturday, but every single day we have a service. If you yourself perhaps are not confident with sharing the gospel, consider bringing a friend to church. To tell them about who Jesus is, to tell them about a king who rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, to tell them about a king who is lowly and gentle, who died on the cross to pay the price for sins, and 3 days later, who actually was raised from the dead.
that Lazarus' resurrection from the dead was just but a small glimpse and a small picture of the greater resurrection that Jesus would be a part of. Would you consider to tell people around you about who Jesus is? I leave that to you to consider that very thoughtfully, to bring them to one of our many, many services that are happening this week. Would you consider that? Now, in closing, as I end this sermon this morning, what happened 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem is great, it's amazing, Hosanna, indeed, blessed is he. But it's just an appetizer or a foretaste of the actual Palm Sunday or Palm celebration that will come when Jesus comes back again. So may God bless each and every single one of us as we enter into this Holy Week to consider what I said, to bear witness to our friends, but ourselves as well, to consider, to be thankful of what Christ has done for you and to remember that Jesus will come back again. And he's coming back soon. So Revelation 7, 9 to 10. Let me end with this verse. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one can number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on a throne and to the Lamb. All glory be to and honor and praise be to Christ our God." Amen.